If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Punctual as usual, says Cat's Dead. Punctuality goat, absolutely. The greatest in the game. There is no waiting for JF until a massive tsunami has happened. Ty Rogerson says, weight loss gang reporting. Oh, yeah, I'm still on my diet. Very, very tough. Very tough to be low calorie, though I do feel extremely healthy. A lot of the little things that I was feeling as getting older is totally gone. You know, I have much more energy. Life is easier. My cognition is more there. I can feel it. My heart feels more stable. Everything feels more normal with 50 pounds in less. Well, I'm at 45 pounds in less right now. I'm trying to bring it to 50. That's my next step. Governor Tim Walz has dropped out of the 2026 Minnesota race.
Major breaking political news out of St. Paul, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Tim Walz will not seek re-election as governor, and what a fall from grace this has been for him. You might recall, in the spring of 2023, he pushed through several progressive ideas to the state legislature.
So Tim Walz has abandoned politics. Nick Shirley is bragging on his Twitter, "I ended Tim Walz." It may be related to the pressure that stems from the daycare investigation. I mean, no doubt, as I said on my ex, it's not just about the fraudster who are enriching themselves. This is all a system of fraud that aims to bring money into the state, and it must come from, ultimately, the politicians that have enabled this program, that have enabled the loose criteria. And that's how you get fraud. John Drake says, jawline is definitely looks better. Oh yeah, my jawline will develop in the next few months. It's not that the jawline develops, it's that you see it more as I lose fat. Sadie Edwards says, get swole, make babies, this is the way. Absolutely. Making babies remains a priority. So, Vivek Ramaswamy is leaving Twitter. Makes me think about Sam Harris. Makes me think about Sam Harris because ultimately what we have is our society is a fake world. You may think that when you talk to people out there, you're in contact with the real people. No, they're displaying a facade. The internet is the real world. This is what these people don't understand. They think, oh, I'm getting on X and everyone is insulting me and they're talking about the fact that I'm this and that. This is the real human beings. This is what every person you cross on the street thinks but can't say. Because in the real life, people are putting up a facade. They have these social ways of maintaining certain questions under taboo. And so if you're a politician and you're only really getting accepted in real life and you're getting rejected on X, it shows something. And there are two types of people. I remember very early in my career, you know, I had a conscious decision to make. Is internet reality? And I decided, yes, I can learn from the internet. The people on these chats are real. When they applaud, you've said something funny. When they complain, there's a reason for it. And eventually I understood that the only reality is the internet. These people have taken the other way. Because of course, no one's going to attack Sam Harris for defending Israeli interests in real life, because they don't want to get through the trouble. They have a facade of politeness. They also are more ashamed of their views. So you don't get real people in what Tusun calls polite society. Yes. Now, when these people arrive on the internet, they realize that there's another reality that they haven't been accustomed to. And some of them dislike it so much, they can't take it. They can't take the truth. The reality of the political landscape is that race is all over it. And these people live in denial. Sam Harris, Vivek, they want to live in the denial of the fake race-blind society. But it matters. It matters that you're Indian. It will change the way you approach politics. It changes who you are. It matters that Sam Harris is Jewish. It will change his philosophy, the way he approaches questions. And when you get onto the internet, you get told that straight to your face. And they don't like it. But I would much rather be in contact with reality, the reality that you can see on the internet, than to be deceiving about it. Vivek says, social media is a trap for politicians. I'm swearing off Instagram and X, where it's too easy to get a distorted sense of the public's concern. No, Vivek. You know where you're going to get a distorted sense of the public's concerns? In your little rallies with boomers. There you're going to get a distorted sense of the public's concern. The only way to get the truth is to be in the arena and to put your ideas out there, test them. How do people react? There will be a flood of irrelevant comments and hateful attacks that don't have any gist to it. But you don't want to lose the connection to what can be the best critiques of what you have to say. On New Year's Eve, I deleted X and Instagram from my phone. I will spend my newfound time listening to more voters in real-world Ohio, developing more policies to make our state affordable and being more present with my family. I predict that ending my consumption of social media will make me a better leader and a happier man. Worse, the online pulse that politicians glean from social media is increasingly manufactured by foreign actors and non-human bots. Well, you have to exclude them. Exclude them through mechanisms. There are various mechanisms you can use to exclude this. You can discard invalid arguments. But in fact, even if a bot was to come to you with a valid argument, you should listen to it. You should hear it. You may even be able to improve your position so that it's future resistant to this kind of attack. A recent report revealed that engagement with the X account of the now notorious white nationalist Nick Fuentes shows signs of being unusually fast, unusually concentrated, and unusually foreign in origin. Another investigation showed that bullshit. Unusually fast, that's because of Nick's popularity. There are people who will just retweet and like the whatever Nick has to say that day. And they are on Discord, and So it's a very different ecosystem when Vivek Ramaswamy tweets something and when Nick Fuentes tweets something. When Nick Fuentes tweets something, there are people on his Discord copy-pasting the link saying, oh, this is nice, let's retweet it. There's an enthusiasm. And the foreign people who are listening to Nick, people have shown data about this, the Nick Fuentes generals, they are not foreign in the way you might think. They are not like in India or in Africa. They are foreign because they are across the European decent world. So Europe, Australia, Canada, US, South America, those are actual fans of Nick Fuentes. Another investigation showed that hundreds of bots drove the pro-Democrat hashtag blue crew hashtag. You don't have to say hashtag. The hashtag blue crew hashtag, amplifying false claims that the assassination attempt on President Trump in Butler, PA was staged. Politicians who think they're taking social media cues from US citizens are often mistaken. Let's be frank here, Vivek. That's not the reason you're leaving. You're leaving... Oh, well, there's the real reason. In 2025, I saw a spat of shocking racial slurs and worse on media. Yet that same year, I visited tens of thousands of voters across all of Ohio's 88 counties, from inner cities to farms, union halls to factories, Republican rallies to one-on-one discussions with protesters, and I didn't hear a single bigoted remark from an Ohio voter the entire year. Well, that's because they're not saying it in your face. Racial views are very common in your voter base. Social media's warped projection of reality is reinforced inside modern government. Political staffers on both sides of the aisle skew young and hyper-attuned to social media. Twitter was built to imitate real-life conversations, but in modern, younger political circles, real-life conversations are imitating Twitter. See, you got it right. He understands. But he doesn't understand the further conclusion. You're right. The internet is more real than life. And there is nothing that guarantees that real conversations are accurate. To the contrary, there's all sorts of psychological defense mechanisms that come into play that make real conversations less real, less connected to the reality, and people will not display in person their actual beliefs. On the internet, we can actually get a glimpse at the actual beliefs, which is why these people, in the long term, they're making themselves irrelevant. Compare Sam Harris in his big days to Sam Harris now. He's become a circle jerk, inner intellectual of a very specific type of liberal circles. That's all you'll become because you don't interface with reality anymore. There's not even a news to be made about your statement. Back in the days, Sam Harris could break the internet on a weekly basis. Ked's Dad says, even the bots aren't really bots. The dark truth is most of the world imitates bots online. The nuns. This is the myth of you. The bots aren't even real bots. The real bots are the humans. The 80 IQ humans. Those are the bots. I mean, it's absolutely correct. Like, a bot may actually have more insight if controlled by a quality AI like Grok. You might actually get more from a bot than the average human being on this planet. Microsoft is so stupid. Microsoft renamed Microsoft Office to Microsoft 365 Copilot app. I don't know, bro. I don't know that I want to install Microsoft 365 Copilot app. I've always been annoyed by the 365 concept to begin with. 365 Copilot app. Like, it's like you're messaging through your marketing that you want to take control over my life. 360. We're going to do everything for you. It's a suite of everything. We're even going to co-pilot you in the process of using that suite. Ben Haiti says, I was on Rumble for 2 weeks thinking that JF quit. Of course not. I'm here. If I don't die, I'll be streaming forever. There is much conflict emerging on the internet about Venezuela and the different factions of the right. Definitely an event that is highlighting the schisms that I've been talking about for a year now. For a year, I've been telling you guys I'm worried about how people have taken stances that were temporary. And we'll see Matt Walsh. You know, this argument that Matt Walsh has been doing, which I've heard a lot across the commentary space, this whole, oh, we shouldn't have gotten into these wars because we have homeless people at home. How about we care for our homeless first? It's like, well, first, that's statism. It's not even right wing. We shouldn't care for the homeless. Second, it's a pragmatic argument of preference. It doesn't truly show that you're anti-war. You don't have a concept that it is just wrong to deny the sovereignty to a people that you attribute to yourself. That's the moral problem with war. It's like, oh, well, okay, so will to power, we're going to take the oil. Okay. But all these people that you're doing this to, you're denying them sovereignty. You're enslaving them through a mechanical technocratic system, but you're enslaving them effectively. They might as well be called slave because the rest of their lives, they're going to work to feed your fuel frenzy. And we've seen it on the side. There's various arguments that are very weak against war. So we've seen Matt Walsh. Oh, I'm against Iraq because we have problems at home. And now on Venezuela. Oh, well, Venezuela makes sense. And you have, you know, a Nick Fuentes that has been forever against the Middle Eastern pro-Israel war, but somehow is for the South American pro-Israel war. And you have a bunch of tough guys. We're strong, we show strength, like military type, and even Andrew Tate. The truth about Venezuela.
Fuck Venezuela. Take all their shit. I'm against these long, prolonged boots on the ground, let's launder trillions, thousands of death, bullshit wars, Afghanistan garbage. I'm against that. But I am for efficient imperialism.
Absolute delusion. This idea that we can go in and out and meaningfully turn Venezuelan society around. As I was explaining in my tweet, humans are like cockroaches. You can take one out. It doesn't change anything. They're still going to behave in the exact same way. You're not going to fix Venezuela. Because if it was that easy, Maduro would have done it for himself. If it was that easy to fix Venezuela, Maduro would have fixed it for himself. He is incentivized at trying to fix his country and enrich the government with it as a socialist. So the fact is, we're faced with problems. Colonialism requires enormous presence. You're not going to do colonialism at a distance, remotely. Just like you're not going to say, you're not going to solve the Russia-Ukraine war by words, because there are deeper mechanisms at play. You have two choices in colonialism. Either one, heavy underground intervention, which has an effect only for as long as you invest ridiculous amounts of personnel, finances, and resources. Or two, a laissez-faire approach. But now your plans with gas and oil and fuel, they get undermined by the local politicians. If you're not there to impose a strict order, there are gangsters that develop criminal networks. They will do some vandalism. They will take some of the resources. They will find workarounds to whatever rules you've imposed. You cannot remotely turn a completely shit socialist society into your corporate fuel drainage mechanism. That won't work. Lapida says, Jeff, I think the new Venezuela admin will just play ball with the U.S. Maybe that's what they will do. But even if they do so, you have other interests in Venezuela society that will perform a subversion of the project, no matter what it is. Like, you can't, this new administration will have the exact same limits in terms of law enforcement that were applying to the previous administrations. So these countries, they turn to criminal, kind of at the intersection between civil war and just constant criminality. And eventually, the gangsters that control these places, these localities, they become more powerful than the politicians. So even if you had at the head of Venezuela, and by the way, it's not clear to me that that's what they have. Because right now there are mixed messages from the new administration. She's saying to Trump, we will do whatever we have to do to listen to you. And then she's saying to the Venezuelan, we will never sell our sovereignty. We will never become slaves. Well, which one is it? And so there's something's got to give here. Either she's lying to the Venezuelan people, maybe, or she's lying to Trump. Which one will it be? And, you know, no matter what kind of flow you want to start on oil, there's going to be demands about it. Eventually, there's going to be negotiation. Eventually, everything will get more costly to get that oil, even if you were to impose a price at the beginning. In the end, these societies, they control effectively their grounds, and you can't just, with a 30-minute operation, you can't just change that and acquire everything for yourself. Lapida says, but JF, this split messaging is just PR for different audiences. Maybe it is. But down the line, one thing has to be true. Down the line, either Venezuela is going to be enslaved by America or not. So it really doesn't matter whether it's strategic PR. It may very well be. It's the PR that she has to do to survive right now. That she has to do to survive her own people and Trump. So she's in between the two here, being a broker. Kalshi reports the U.S. to potentially seize Venezuela's Bitcoin reserves. Okay, I don't know. Does Venezuela as much bitcoins? I know that Bukele or some other South America leader was accumulating bitcoins, but Venezuela, I don't know if they have a big reserve. Matt Walsh. Matt Walsh, difference of opinion in the past versus now. The U.S. has been at war with one random Middle East country after another for my entire adult life. It's baffling that there are people who want this to continue. Can we focus on our own problems for a change? Is that such a radical suggestion? And now today he says, yes, I oppose fighting decade-long wars half a world away to bring democracy to Islamic tribesmen. On the other hand, I support a 90-minute military operation against an adversarial communist government in our own hemisphere to directly benefit America and its people. There is no contradiction between these two positions. Not every military action is the same as every other. Well, this is where it's important. This is where don't let them get away with pragmatic arguments. In the future, when someone says, we shouldn't do the Iraq war because we don't have the money. Okay, well, then you're not truly a voice of anti-war. You're just part of the army of reserve of Israel to justify a future war in which and you're accumulating audience that think you're anti-war because they say, oh, well, at least he's taken position against Iraq, right? But down the line, no, you are making yourself to the service of pro-war discourse in the future when you make these pragmatic arguments. You're leaving yourselves some out. Stephen Robinson says, I've seen reports that Venezuela has had 600,000 Bitcoin. Wow. That would be a massive stash. That is a lot of Bitcoin. I don't know if that is possible. Inseminatory Supremacy says, sorry, I wasn't at the computer in time. The word is that Venezuela might have as much as 600,000 Bitcoin. Okay, wow. You know, encrypt your seed words, dear South American nations. Meanwhile, Maduro has acquired a liar, United States District Court appearance of counsel. His liar will be Barry Pollack, who is also the liar of Julian Assange. Very interesting. So Maduro came in front of the judge and says, I plead non guilty. I'm just the leader of Venezuela and I've been kidnapped here. I consider that I've been kidnapped illegally and I'm just the leader of my country. So basically his point will be, maybe there's drugs that have passed to the US, but I'm not the one ordering this drug trade. And that I can't wait to see what will happen with this, because normally what we get is kangaroo court proceedings. But what if there's a jury? And what if it's in New York? There is a lot of people who are anti-sympathetic to the war of Trump. If it stays in New York, you're certainly going to have one liberal on there, on the 12 juries, that will invalidate any finding of guilt, that will nullify any finding of guilt. And I don't think that the Americans have a strong case. I don't think that the evidence will be very strong where you can say Maduro wanted this narco traffic to go on. So it's like, I think it's miscalculated, this whole thing. The way Trump probably approached it is, well, we just need to neutralize him. So it doesn't matter if he's found non-guilty in a year from now. We just need to do the regime change. But down the line, in 1 year from now, if Maduro gets out of the court found not guilty, it decredibilizes the US to a major level. Because you can't even have your own systems to find guilty the people that you claim are guilty. And the people that you've removed from their official position in another country, I think there's going to be a big backlash on the credibility of the U.S. government if that happens. Now, there's the other option that he's basically given a kangaroo court proceeding. Perhaps he doesn't even get jury. Perhaps the judge just somehow, you know, it's. I think it's technically possible a judge that says, "No, the jury found you not guilty, but you're guilty." I think that may happen. That may happen. Ked's dad says Maduro should have looks maxed when he would be found not guilty. 100%. Then he would be found not guilty 100%. That's true. That's my new position. You have to mug. You have to mug the other person. If Maduro could mug the judge, I think he might be free. You're right. User says, Jeff, you are forgetting that Maduro will have a crap lawyer. Well, his lawyer is the lawyer of Julian Assange, and you have to give it to him. He's been the lawyer of Julian Assange has been successfully getting Julian Assange out of trouble, although not through a court performance, but through negotiation with the pardon system, and I believe the something like this. He got a pardon for Julian Assange. So I don't think it's a crap lawyer at all. All of these fucking people, bro. Tim Pool. All of these people. Ending private prison. Ending the death penalty. Ending regime change war. So Tim Pool was previously against regime change wars, but now celebrating the Venezuela topping. The U.S. economy is about to boom. Tons of free oil heading our way. So disgusting, because it's not random that these people are hanging out with Netanyahu. It's not random that these supposedly independent creators are hanging out with top politicians. They've been selected. They've been selected for being voices of war propaganda. And all of them have surfed on the wave of anti-regime change war. All of them, because it was fashionable and it was basically the position you had to have. Now it's like whenever something important happens, you can see that they're sending their agents. You can see that these people were reserving themselves for the next shot, lying to the people again. The big lie, the biggest lie that we see commonly right now on social media is this idea that it was a 90-minute operation. Oh yeah, it was a 90-minute operation. How much gas did you get from it? How many cars have been fueled from that 90-minute operation? Zero. It's just like in Django Unchained, the movie, where the slave tells his master. The master says, they just bought a slave for a big amount of money. And the slave says, did they give you that money? So I would ask the same to Trump and to Andrew Tate and to Tim Pool. Did you get the oil? Show me the oil. Show me a barrel of oil that you've drained out of Venezuela. No, all you've accomplished for now is you forced a regime change. And in fact, the new regime has not even been selected by you. It's been actually designated by Maduro himself. Barnaby Brito sends me a report on Venezuela having 600,000 Bitcoin apparently seized. Okay. Possible, maybe. Maybe there were local gangs that had, or maybe just regular citizens that had Bitcoin and they got seized by the Maduro government. A friend of Gandalf sends a super chat.
How far back in history do we need to go to find an American war that was actually beneficial for the American people and not just beneficial in theory?
In my view, the War of Independence. From the War of Independence from England. that is the only war that was beneficial. Because if you start at the Civil War to me was a takeover of the modern Democrat empire, if you will, the modern leftist statist view of America. So I don't even know the year. People are saying 1776. What was the year where America claimed its independence from England? That would be the only one. Randy Nam says, I think this lends some credibility that they send a drone to Putin's home. We can just come get you. Yeah. Yeah. War of 1812 was pretty good too. I don't know what was the War of 1812. Was fought by the United States and its allies against the United Kingdom and its allies in North America. It began when the United States declared war on Britain. Although peace terms were agreed upon in December 1814, Treaty of Ghent, the war did not officially end. Anglo-American tensions stemmed from long-standing differences over territorial expansion in North America. Okay, well, that seems in line with the War of Independence. Absolutely, I would designate these two wars as the only one valid, because the only thing that works in war is the claiming of a nation's independence. You cannot impose it on someone else. You cannot come in and improve a society. The people there, they have their genetic characteristics and they don't necessarily fit with your system. Like, just think theoretically, if you could clap your finger and just impose the American Constitution in Venezuela, is it going to lead to big industries? Is it going to lead to a clever use of guns as part of self-defense in the Second Amendment? Is it going to lead to a new era, a renaissance of scientific developments and speech and artistic creation? No. It's... They're going to take your Second Amendment and use it to create more mayhem. They're going to use it the way they can based on their intelligence, their capacities. So you can't save these places. You can't fix them. Is this true? Henrik Palgram published this video, apparently an old video, of someone talking about the interest of Venezuela war, but he has a misphrasing that is quite telling. I guess you could call this sort of a Freudian slip.
Look at the implications here are really great for the Israel the Venezuelan people.
Oh. The implications here are really great for the Venezuelan people. Wow. Or is that new? Is that a new video? Because it does show what seems to be the strike of Trump here. So maybe it's new from like yesterday or 2 days ago. Wow. The implications are great for Israel. I was explaining the problem with Matt Walsh. See, we've spent the last 25 years bringing freedom and democracy to countries around the globe, while our country has been systematically invaded, and now our largest cities are run by foreigners and communists. If you want to know why I'm avowedly non-interventionist, this is why. And now, this is a war for oil. First of all, the war lasted like 90 minutes. Second, going to war with to secure vital resources for your own people is totally legitimate. Why should we allow some third world communist shithole to control trillions of dollars worth of oil? And that's the big lie, Matt. You don't control the oil. You have zero control. You have zero demonstrated capacity to control, to benefit from, to export the oil to yourself. That would require massive presence, massive regime change, massive investments. Dan Bongino is back on the public space. He says, good to see you all. I missed you. Thanks for everything while we worked on cleaning up. Working in the administration was the experience of a lifetime. I'll have some announcement coming up, but I'm taking a couple of days to spend with the family. Thank you for your interest in the show and its return date. The Trump theme is not kidding around. It's another worldly experience from the other side. He's determined and focused, and having been around quite a few presidents, this one broke the mold. If we blocked you, it's because we care so little about your bullshit that we deem it not worthy of even seeing. If you're bitching and whining about it, that means you can't exist without seeing and commenting on ours. You'll need to get over that. We do it because there's nothing black pillars and anti-Trumpers want more than to create division and drama. So he's coming out strongly against the black pillars. I guess he's referring to people saying the Trump administration is not satisfying. People saying they are disappointed with the handling of the Epstein stuff. People saying they are disappointed with the extent of the investigation on Tyler Robinson. That's probably what he calls the black pillars here. That would be my guess. Catty Cat says, CITGO becomes Chevron. Change in name, but same imperialist controllers. Absolutely. He says, let me add this from the jump so there's no confusion. I started in this movement as a candidate during the Tea Party movement, and I began my political commentary career shortly thereafter. I helped build this movement, and I sure as hell am not going to let it get hijacked by a group of black pillars, life losers, grifters, and bums. I think he's just talking about the people being critical of him on social media. I mean, these normie personalities, they have an issue with the internet. Vivek couldn't handle it. Dan Bongino is now calling them losers, grifters. It's like, well, you know, maybe there's just a part of the human diversity that is unsatisfied by your performance. Now, the critique of Dan Bongino has been mostly on the fact that we've needed to watch Candace to get more transparency than can be given by the FBI. And as a result of it, we're listening to someone who may be totally untrustable. And somehow, the efficiency, the claimed efficiency of the Trump government, I would like to feel it a little more. I would like to feel it just a little more. I would like to see actual work on numbers. That being said, there are people who report that there was under Dan Bongino, at least that's one of his friends complimenting him, that there was 20% less murder in America, probably because of the Trump interventions and the whole National Guard thing that he did in certain cities like Washington, D.C. If that's the case, I applaud. If we truly had a drop of the murder rate in America, bravo. I don't know. I haven't checked on this. There was a little kerfuffle between Nick Fuentes and Jake Shields. Political commentator Jake Shields questioned the motives of Nick Fuentes. It's hard watching Nick turn into a neocon. He used to attack Israel. Now he attacks me, Candace, Tucker, and any who oppose Israel. Nick's main concern is being popular, not making a change. And I have a split opinion on this, because I know that Nick comes at it, at the question of war, from the depth of his heart. I know that he's real about this. I know that Nick is not getting sponsored by Israel or something. In a way, that's so much more respectful than a Tim Pool, because Tim Pool is hanging out with Netanyahu at his Chatham House meetings. And Nick Fuentes, he actually believes that interventionism is not off the table. That, yes, America should be kind of the police of the world to the extent that it's in its interest. And so I'm okay with Nick converging toward war with Venezuela, and people were putting out clips. Apparently, he's been explicitly stating that he was for Venezuelan intervention since at least 2019. And I remember back in those days, we were debating, him and I was the anti-war guy concerning certain Middle Eastern strikes. And he was the pro-war guy, pro-airstrikes. So Nick has been very transparent and open about this. He's not doing a reversal. He is simply a pro-war guy. Now, my worries with Nick is that he's falling here for an intervention that, in my view, is absolutely in line with a strategy of war against the Iranian axis. And as such, you know, we may have this very special situation in which Nick may agree with this war, but then this war is actually just a stepping stone for a war against Iran. And that's in line with a theory that a lot of people have been discussing, including Ryan Dawson on ANC Report, the idea that Venezuela is just a strategic stepping stone, because by controlling certain oil reserves, it will allow securing the oil market while attacking Iran. So because the attack on Iran would have a destabilizing effect on the oil market, you create for yourself a reserve with the Venezuelan oil, and then you can attack Iran. I don't know if that's like in a year from now or in 20 years from now, but that would be the strategy. It's very interesting as a theory, but then it's like you have to, as a public commentator, you have to see in advance what's being pulled over you. And I'm afraid that Nick is not seeing it. Although he has superb vision and understanding and research generally, I think in this case he's clapping enthusiastically without understanding the potential consequences, which is if the Venezuelan war is a stepping stone war for the Iranian war, what will be your position when we attack Iran? Like, You've already dipped your feet into acknowledging, accepting it, liking it, but you're not going to like the second step. You have to see these things in advance. And I think that Nick is just putting the blindfolds on and saying, well, it's in our interest. The oil makes sense. But it's like, think it through. Think it through. Think of the consequences and think why it's being done. Now, I don't believe that this theory, which I read on Ryan Dawson's ANC report, I don't believe it's the only theory. I believe also that Trump is trying to deny basically China some oil reserves, some potential oil reserves. Justin McDaniel says, Nick Fuentes is a taboo grifter. He will take whatever position will get him attention and money. Definitely, he is an entertainer. That's our responsibility. Like, we have to be entertaining first. That's something that people forget. And so, yes, there are some edgy positions that Nick will take at times for shock value. But that's the science, guys. That's As V, the YouTube, the Romanian YouTuber once said, the only crime you can commit as a YouTuber is to not be funny. So never forget this. We are here to make you think, and we are here to communicate information. But before anything, we have to be funny. Like, not being funny is like a contract of non-existence. It's like signed in blood. Make my YouTuber life impossible. So no, I wouldn't blame entertainers for being entertaining. Polymarket announces plans to launch real estate prediction markets, allowing users to predict future home prices. Well, that's interesting. What will it be? Will it be at confirmed sale value? Or will it be a displayed value? Interesting. Polymarket is quite impressive as a decentralized platform. Not fully decentralized, but they're using blockchain technology. And it's fascinating because they are moving into the domain of market predictions. And basically, rather than say, will Maduro be captured in the next 6 months? That's kind of a basic Polymarket bet. They're moving into, will Bitcoin be at a higher price in 5 minutes from now? Will it be at a higher price in 15 minutes from now? And that's becoming extremely interesting. I believe that Polymarket is kind of an experiment in epistemology and in knowledge and certainty. Now, sadly, it is absolutely subject to insider interventions, because we've seen again and again people coming with absolute knowledge that, for example, Maduro would be captured, and they come 3 hours before the capture and they bet everything they have on yes. That is asymmetric information, unfortunately. And I hope that this gets included as insider training, because it's just as bad. But we've absolutely failed at fighting insider trading. There's not been serious prosecution of this. The case needs to be too obvious. If someone just goes on the side and has someone from their family do a bet, not in their name, not traceable, they just get out with the money. John Drake says, I predict housing will fall to its utility value in most locations versus Bitcoin. That would be very interesting, because the real estate market is inflated. And it's making life hard for everyone. It would be really great if basically the value of a house is the value of the wood you had to buy and the guy that knocked the hammer. That's it. That's what the value of a house should be. But right now, the value of a house is like the value of not dying on the streets in the winter. That's the value of a house right now. It shouldn't be that way. And one of the great obstacles to house value diminishing is that they make building houses so hard with code, laws, property taxes, zoning. We have to liberate this market, because down the line, if you were just to pay for the wood and the guy that works on it, houses would be 2 times, 3 times cheaper than they are right now. Right now, when you buy a house, you basically buy the right to not be annoyed by your local municipality. That's what you buy. You buy a troubleless, key-in-hand solution to the problem of the plethora of rules that apply to house building. Marby Dog says, residential building codes are a tyranny. Absolutely, they are. They make the building of houses so complicated. It should be the case. You know the way the government doesn't tax your first $15,000 or so? And what's the, and you know how the government cannot really legislate against your gardening? What are the thoughts behind these limits to the government? It's that your basic survival shouldn't be impeded on by the government. Gardening, you're doing it for your vegetables, we can't stop you. $15,000 a year, we can't tax it from you because that's your basic survival money. The same should be true of houses. You should be able to take a bunch of planks, hammer them together, say, that's my shack. And you shouldn't be forced to have a foundation. If that's what you need to survive, you should be absolutely able to just build a little shack to survive. But this is almost unavailable in the entirety of the populated spaces of America. And that's absolute nonsense. Last news item before we close the show. A Paris court finds 10 people guilty of cyberbullying. France's first lady, Brigitte Macron. The free speech is not the same in France, and you have to be careful when you watch Candace Owens. Candace Owens is in the U.S. The U.S. has extensive liberty on journalistic analysis of even facts that turn out to be false. You can say something false about someone else if they are a public personality and you are laying out publicly the reasons for your belief. So Plapides is on the regular chat right now. He says, Jeff, you fail to realize that this is exactly how favelas / shanty towns start. Well, okay. Okay. But if you don't want people to be free on their lands, you have to create your own private community. Create your private club, buy all of the land, allow it with people with those internal rules. The problem of the modern codes that emerge is they've been imposed on people who haven't chosen to be in there. So yes, I don't care if my town becomes more ugly. I'm not entitled to the beauty of others. It's a, think about if you were to do with the human body what you're doing with houses, with your argument there. Think about if I was to say, well, you have to stop eating, Plapides. You're too fat. You're ugly to my eyes. We're going to be surrounded by fat people if we let you do that. I'm not entitled to this because I'm not entitled to beauty around me. Now, I could create a private club in which only beautiful people come and we would hang out, discuss our jawline. I'd be like, I've been doing some bone smashing recently. I think I'm mugging right now. But that would be a private club. I cannot just impose obesity codes on you. If you haven't joined a special club that has this purpose and has done so, and you have done it willfully. Lapidus says, it's not about ugliness, it's that lack of building codes will attract low-class people, then there will be crime. Well, you have to put them in jail. But these people are somewhere committing crimes if they're in your nation. So, I mean, again, I don't object to clubs. Have your club. Have your real estate club. You can even be fenced community, whatever you like. But don't impose rules on people who haven't consented. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you for being with me. If you'd like to support the show, join the Patreon or the Subscribestar. The links are in the description below. The show needs your support to keep going. Much love, everyone. You can also send support at any time through the streamlabs.com/JFGtonight/tip link in the description. Bye-bye. I'm continuing my diet, so I'm going to go sit on my bed and say don't eat, don't eat, don't eat anything. Just keep your stomach empty.